Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Both the Jets and Giants, and if you combine them all year long, 0-6. Like, there are 0-3 football teams out there. The Miami Dolphins are 0-3. The Tennessee Titans, Houston Texans, 0-3. Nobody 0-6 like both New York teams. And for the Giants, you know, for a team that in year four of a new regime with Shane and Dable was expected to be more competitive this year, yet again, they start 0-3. The offense could not build off of what they did so well in week two against the Cowboys. And the Giants find a way to lose another game.
They've sucked the life out of us. That's really all there is to it. I don't care how much you love these teams and how invested you've been years going to stadiums and tailgating and family traditions and spending money and emotionally investing so much in these teams. They've really broken us to the point where you know, it's not hard to detect, you know, a sense of apathy that is kind of, you know, crept into both of these fan bases, which is something that very rarely happens with our city, with our fan base, because we're usually pretty wired up and loud and passionate and stuff. So for us to kind of almost be like, oh, whatever, man, here we go again. It's just not natural. It's not normal. Now, the good thing is there's a couple of things that could change fairly soon. You know, when the Giants go to Jackson Dart, that could obviously change the complexion of how we view them. And when, I do think that the Jets will start to get some wins eventually. I don't think the Jets are destined to, I mean, I could be totally wrong. I don't think we're looking at 2-15. I don't even think we're looking at 3 wins. I think the Jets are going to eventually get a couple of wins, and I'm looking forward to getting Justin Fields back. And I do think that Glenn, while he's tripped over himself a little bit with his words and some things, like the Jets weren't ready to play again yesterday, I'm not abandoning hope that this season, like you said earlier in the show, can't change a little bit, but man, oh man, it's the same script and it's just tiring and it's utterly predictable at this point.
And for the Giants, to me, I'm not forcing the issue with Jackson Dart, not at this particular point. Now, the risk-reward is there, where if they go to him, it could change everything. I mean, the energy with Jackson Dart is obviously there, not only with the fan base, but you see it when he's out on the field, the RPO, maybe that could take this offense to another level. And heck, they could start winning games as soon as week four. I don't anticipate that being the case, if they're going to make a change. I also would not. I wouldn't do it until I know definitively, if I'm Shane and Dable, that Jackson Dart is ready to take over this team. I'm not doing it just to try to get some wins or appease the fan base that is calling for him, literally calling for Jackson Dart while they're out there at the stadium watching Russell Wilson under center.
Oh, dude. And my solution would be, you know, if you've got to change the feel, if you've got to change the tone here, I'd play Jameis Winston for a game or two. I don't think that they're going to do that. I really don't. Now, the way Russell played against the Cowboys, all right, that was encouraging. And then right back to it last night, you know, throwing into double coverage on the first pick, horrible throw on the second pick, not even really trying to. Now, this isn't just Russ. This is also the play calls and the other, there's other components to it. But Malik Nabers, not even thought of for most of this football game, just frustrating. And it's like watching, your eyes bleed watching this stuff. It's absolutely gross is what it is.
And Jets missed missed a golden opportunity. Like I said, I thought they were going to win that game, and they played awful from the beginning. Sauce Gardner overrated. Garrett Wilson still a long way to go. He makes some positive plays and has a positive impact to me. Unlike Sauce, where there's too much bad from Sauce, and I'm not seeing from Sauce, and I'm not seeing enough good.
Yeah.
With Garrett Wilson, though, he's still not. Like, to me, there were reasons why Rodgers and him didn't get along. And Rodgers trying to help him learn the little things. The fact that he didn't come back to that ball yesterday, that pick six, changed the game. So Garrett's got a long way to go. Even their best players have a long way to go. And also, I'd ask you, well, what's the Jets' identity? We thought that they were going to be built based off of a strong offensive line running the football. That's how they are built. And they haven't been able to do that consistently through 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, listen, they haven't. And the challenge now is going to be, number one, when you fall behind, you become predictable. That changes the playbook, number one. That's obvious. Number two, I mean, the receiving core, and this is a Muji thing, this is an offseason thing, but the receiving core is horrendous. I mean, it's really embarrassingly bad. I knew it was going to be fairly thin, hoping to get a little pop from the tight ends, Ruckert, Mason Taylor, rookie, obviously. But what they trot out there opposite Garrett Wilson is just absolutely unacceptably bad. You know, but I think to me, Sal, what's really disappointing with the Jets yesterday, you know, I didn't think they were going to light up the scoreboard, even though I've got great respect for Tyrod Taylor. Like, I thought yesterday was the day that we saw the Jets defense kick some ass. You know, we talked about this on Thursday and Friday. With Tristan Wirfs out, 60% of the starting offensive line out, and you can't scheme something up, and your best players can't have enough influence where you're making Baker Mayfield's life miserable, who, by the way, hurt his hand twice. Mike Evans got hurt, left the game. Godwin didn't play. This wasn't even a full. It's not even a great Bucs offense when they're fully together. They weren't together, and the Jets defense just did nothing, and the Jets all. Line was bad. I mean, they just didn't pass protect. Just a rough look for both teams.
Yeah, and Aaron Glenn could be happy about his team coming back and showing fight, but if you watch the game, you know that the reason why the Jets came back is because the Bucs sucked all afternoon. Like, Tampa Bay played maybe one of the worst games, and I'm including both football teams here, both locals here. Tampa Bay played one of the worst games that I have seen in quite some time. That was a god-awful, atrocious effort from basically start to finish. The fact that they were able to win that game was a sheer miracle. So the Jets let them get away with one. I'm not going to credit the Jets for coming back. Yeah, all right, they didn't give up. Aaron Glenn wants to take victory laps for that. To me, that was a bad look from the Jets' new head coach. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dan is in Saratoga. What's up, Dan?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm an old Jet fan. And I'm watching that game, and I actually stood up in the chair at the beginning of the game when I saw Tyrod Taylor throw the ball on first down. And they moved the ball down a little. A penalty made them have to take a field goal, which is always the case.
Yep.
And then on the second series, he's throwing the ball around on first down. Then, right after that, they revert back to the old first down, run somebody up the middle for no gain. They kept putting him in a 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and we know Bowles, that's the only thing he knows how to do is blitz. They were coming after him like there was no tomorrow. This offense is not good enough to be predictable. You got to throw the ball on first down and run on 3rd and 4. Put the defense at least somewhat on their back heels. This goes back to Schottenheimer when he was the offensive coordinator.
See, I disagree with that myself. Dan, I don't like that theory myself. If your strength, and thank you for the call, we appreciate you checking in. If your strength is running the football, I am trying to impose my will on the opponent. Now, the reason why the Jets came out throwing is because Todd Bowles went in with the game plan saying, you're not going to run the football on us. End of story. You're going to have to beat us with Tyrod Taylor and your lack of weapons through the air. That's what you're going to have to do. So the Jets come out and they adjust accordingly, which is why they were throwing it to start. For me, though, BT, good running teams can run it when the defense knows you're running it and they try to stop it and they can't. And that is something that, for the Jets to have any kind of success this year, that's what they're going to have to do.
Well, that's what an identity is all about. Identity, you know, my style, everybody knows it. It's on film. Everybody knows what we're going to try to do. You know, and it's up to you to stop it. Now, there'll be different degrees of maybe slowing us down, but to abandon what the ultimate strength would be. I mean, listen, if the Jets start coming and throwing the football around 30 times a week, the Jets will be picking first overall in the draft.
Yeah.
They do not have the horses to do that.
Maybe second behind the Giants, but yes, I get the point.
They'll be in the top two, flip a coin, whatever. They just don't have those kind of pieces. So, You know, but when you fall behind early, you know, you're going to have to throw a little bit more, which is, it's untenable at that point. They can't possibly win. You know, and listen, Todd Bowles did him a massive favor. One of the things about Todd when he was here, and I'm happy for his success.
He's way too conservative.
Well, yes. I mean, I saw some next-gen stats. They in the first three quarters, they blitz 66% of the time. And then in the fourth quarter, they dropped it down to like 19 or 20%. So they just completely allowed the Jets to get comfortable, get in a rhythm. I don't understand what some of these coaches are thinking. Like, this even goes back to the way the Giants played the final sequence against Dallas in week two. Like, you do something during the game and it's effective and you're aggressive, and then it's time to win the game and you do the exact opposite. You see this all the time.
Yeah, I could see if, like, I like that style, but you're talking about 30 years ago. Like, I could understand that thought process, Bowles being a Parcells disciple and being smart and disciplined and punting and playing the game out or being conservative. It doesn't work like that in 2025,
no.
Where it takes literally 10 seconds, maybe less, to drop back, throw a bomb down the field, get a PI call, and you're in field goal range or whatever to change the game. Like, we've seen this before. You can't play conservative anymore where the clock does not mean what it used to mean.
No, well, I can't stand it. You know, and there was a couple of times where, you know, the Jets were, and they were still in the game at this point in the first half, where there was one play, and then the Bucs were at midfield. Think about this. You get the ball on the 35, you throw like a little uncreative slip screen where you eat up 11 or 12 yards because your defense can't tackle. You're already in midfield. They have one play. Like, I don't know. It's got to be, to me, it's just, we're not going to solve it now. There's no answer. They're not going to change the way the game is played now, but it really does alter the philosophies, and it doesn't seem like every coach is caught up to it.
Richard calling from Massapequa. What's up, Richard?
Rich.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
So I sit here, listen to you guys on my way to school every single day. And Sal, you sit here and you act like the Giants are as inept as the Jets in the past 5 years. And that just cannot be the case. Three seasons ago, you guys made the playoffs. I'm 22 years old. I've witnessed the Jets win no playoff games, unless you want to count 2009 where I was six.
Well, first of all, I'm not sure if you got me confused with BT. When you said you guys, what do you mean by you guys?
I mean, mostly you, Sal. I'm sorry. Oh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Gio.
Boomer and Gio is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Gio, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Okay, so it's me. So then when you say you guys, what does that mean? You're talking about the Jets?
Talking about the show.
Oh, okay.
You guys.
Right. Okay. And explain what. So you, what? You think that we're more critical of the Giants than we are the Jets? Or me?
Sal, I think you go on this whole woe is me. The Giants are the worst team of all time in the past 20 years. You loop the Jets in with the Giants. And that's just. The Jets are the worst team
terrible.
In the league. The Giants are terrible in what, the past three seasons? This is like when the Yankees didn't make the playoffs in 2023. And I started comparing him to the Mets.
I'm not sure I'm understanding your point at all, Richard. First of all, I am not a fan of either New York football team. I root for both, But it's not like I favor one team over the other as far as fandom goes. That's number one. Number two, I ask you, you keep talking about like the outlier where the Giants barely made the postseason. Where is, even if you factor in that year, add up their record over the last 10 years. What is it?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can assure you the Jets got at least 5 less wins.
Oh,
at least.
Okay, but who's saying that?
But is that something to be sticking your chest out of? They're both terrible.
I don't understand what you mean.
Do you want a little more respect for the Giants?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
Well, then just say
that. I want
that.
A more respect for the Giants.
Okay,
but they got to earn the respect, Rich. But Rich, hold on, Rich. They got to earn the respect. What are we missing? They're terrible. They don't score at home. They don't score touchdowns. They don't win. They fire coaches like the Jets. They hire GMs like, what are you talking about, Rich?
Fair enough, guys. I got to go back to eating lunch with my girlfriend. Have a nice rest of your day.
We appreciate you listening, Shaggy. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. Like, I just don't understand the point.
No,
like,
me neither. The Giants in 2017, they were 3-13. Then they were 5-11. Then they were 4-12. Then they were 6-10. Then they were 4-13. They were 3-14 last year. What are we missing? Now listen, and I've always said this, and maybe I'm the one who should be saying this because I'm the Jets fan. I've always said, I'm jealous of the Giants. I wish I was a Giant. As miserable as it is now being a Giants fan, I wish that I was a Giants fan instead of a Jets fan. Because I'd have championships. So historically, of course, I, and I'm sure all of us, will give the Giants the nod as the franchise. But the last 15 years, it's been the same disgusting race.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying, like, maybe he was confusing me with you. Only because it sounded like he was looking to attack, quote-unquote, a Jets fan. Where I am not that, and we try to be as unbiased and fair as we possibly can with each of these teams. Both these teams suck as equally, and they have for basically a decade. Hoff, have you looked up the records here the last 10 years with each, the Jets and the Giants?
It looks like
Giants are worse.
What we have right now, this could be fake information.
Yeah,
you never know.
Well, did you? Please tell me you didn't just AI it. You didn't just Google it. And
no, I think the Giants are worse. Slightly worse.
A win total, it looks like the Giants have one more win.
Actually, no, they didn't count last season. So the Jets have 4 more wins.
Hey, here we go.
All right,
since 2015.
Woo! Okay. All right, so let's just go from 2016.
On.
Can you pull up the Giants?
I've got the Giants in front of me.
Okay. 2016, how many wins did
the
Giants
have? Well, that was an 11-win season. Okay. That was the boat
there. All right,
there.
But still add that
in. Yep, 11 wins.
Okay. I mean, you want to go to the year before that, 2015?
Sure, 6-10.
Okay, and the Jets were 10-6 that year.
That's right. That was Bulls.
What about 2014?
6-10, Giants. Okay.
All right, so let's start there. 2014.
6-10.
Jets are 4-12. So you got to add them up.
Yeah, you got to do the math.
Can somebody
here,
add this up? All right, anyway, so you're going 6-10. Jets were 4-12.
Okay.
2015, Jets were 10-6.
The Giants were 6-10.
Okay. 2016, 5 wins for the Jets.
All right, so 6 the Giants way, 11-5.
Okay.
17.
5 wins for the Jets.
3 wins for the Giants.
2018, 4 wins for the Jets.
5 for the Giants.
2019, 7 wins for the Jets.
4 for the Giants.
2020, 2 wins for the Jets.
6 for the Giants.
2021, 4 wins for the Jets.
Same number, 4.
2022, 7 wins for the Jets.
9 for the G-men.
2023, and that was the year that they went to the... Like, that's
correct.
The best year of the last 10.
Yeah, with
and
the tie,
And it was only
2
game difference.
Yeah.
2023, 7 wins for the Jets.
1 less for the Giants, 6.
2024, 5 wins for the Jets.
3 for the Giants.
And none
it's close,
like,
man.
Dude, they both sucked!
I don't know what the point of that call was. I'm confused.
A sensitive Giant fan thinking that we're too critical of the Giants and not harsh enough on the Jets?
That's the wrong fight to pick.
How about this? Maybe it's because we hold the Giants to a higher standard.
That's right.
Certainly this year, they're in year 4 with the new regime. The Jets are in year 1 with a rookie coach. And Justin Fields is a quarterback. For goodness sake. My God, man.
I mean, think about
the majority of fans, by
the way. No, I know. I appreciate them pushing back. Do whatever you want. But I don't know if you're watching the same team. I mean, it's been 3 straight openers where the Giants haven't scored a touchdown.
No, BT, but...
Week 1.
But they almost were close enough to win. Like, they weren't close
you're
enough
right,
to win.
You're right. You're right. My bad. My bad. They were knocking on the door. Yeah,
they
did
score a touchdown.
And they almost got a touchdown last night with 3:13 to
almost,
go. Russell Wilson, they were inside the short, you know, inside the 10, you know, first and goal. Then he threw it in the tunnel. Then he hit the crossbar. Then he hit a drunk in the stands.
Yep.
And then they did a 4-yard run after the... I mean, it was an impressive drive by the Giants.
Almost made some big plays. Almost looked like a team that might be one at home.
Almost hit an extra point if the kicker didn't get hurt
almost,
again. No, I mean, almost.
Right. Almost beat an 0-2 team, an otherwise winless team that people had left for dead. Like, come on. Like, Dable would tell you his first, after week 1, wow, it was 14-6 in the fourth quarter.
That's what he did say, though.
Oh, God,
he did.
Good God. Hey, week 2, here's the... Week 2, they almost scored 40 points and won. But they didn't. They lost.
Let me let everybody in on something here. I think that some people get this a little twisted. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. At the end of the day, and not to be negative because we want to be negative, but that kind of stuff is always going to sell more in sports radio. It's more polarizing. The clicks will be up. The conversation will be more volatile. The callers, the emotion. Like, when you get on after a win, unless it's like the Super Bowl or the ALCS and you go into the Super World Series, whatever it might be, like, the energy when things are bad is always going to outshine when things are good. That's just the way it goes. Having said all that, we want these teams to be good.
I don't even know if that's the case as it pertains to these football teams. I agree with you generally.
Oh, negativity always sells.
Yeah, but right now, it's been so bad for so long that there's nothing new about the negativity. It's literally the same stuff every year, every week. Like, you want to tell me that a tough loss in week 12 that can knock the Jets or the Giants out of the postseason would generate more clicks or whatever you want to say, or more interest than a win would in a team in a season where you're going to go 11-6 or whatever it may be? Fair enough. Right now, I don't think it's about negativity. Like, nobody wants to hear, we don't want to do it. Nobody wants to hear about, like, it's the same stuff that we're talking about with both teams for 10 years.
That's why I used the word apathy before. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how that, to me, that's the most dangerous. I've said this, that is the most dangerous emotion in the world. When you no longer care about something, then there's problems. Because if you don't care, you're not going to fight for it. And, you know, I don't blame whether it's giving up tickets and letting opposing, whether it's Steelers fans or Chiefs fans, or just checking out and saying, you know what, I'm not buying these jerseys anymore. I'm not paying for parking. I'm not telling you how to spend your money. But for those of you who have checked out and have become a little apathetic on Sundays doing different things, we don't blame you.
Yeah.
We don't blame you.
And for the record, for our last caller to hear this, and this is genuine, I would, just so like it's clear, so you don't think that there is any anti-Giant thing and pro-Jet thing going on here, I would 1,000% rather be in the Giants spot right now. And the way that you could have called and said, hey, you guys make it sound like both teams suck, but at least we have potential to have a franchise quarterback. That is one thing you can hang your hat on. Now, will that work out? Who the hell knows? Will this regime be around to see it through? Who the hell knows? But at least there is the excitement of the possibility of when they do go to Jackson Dart that things can change, but that does not exist with the Jets.
And that's the conversation that we're going to have at some point midseason when both teams have one or two wins, if that, and it's like, all right, bigger picture, who's more set up for success?
Getting to the Mets is just going to be, you think it's depressing about the football. Oof, this has been ugly around here. You know, yesterday, BT, I did watch a bunch of games around the league, especially because the Jets were getting beat so badly that instead of me, like, I've changed the way that I watch these games this year. Usually I'll have the quadrant up and I'll have the sound on the Jets or the Giants, but now when they play head-to-head, I'll just have the two screens up and flip back and forth between the sounds and watch both games. Yesterday, obviously, was the first time we didn't have the Jets and Giants on the same time. So I was locked in on the Jets as long as they possibly could. And then when they were out of it, or at least I felt they were out of it, I went to the quadrant and had the other games around the league. Dude, there's a lot of just sloppy play around the NFL, period. Now, it pales in comparison to how bad the Jets and Giants are. But I think around the league, these first few weeks, like, the NFL sells itself as a high-end product that everybody can't get enough of. However, because of the lack of preseason, the first few weeks of the regular season, slop. It's been slop.
It was, especially the early games. Like, you look at the Browns, Packers. I mean, that was gross. I mean, the Colts, Titans was rough. The Vikings, Bengals without Burrow, yeah, brutal.
Backup quarterbacks in that game.
Yeah, at least the Steelers and the Pats was competitive, but not exactly, you know, an amazing game.
Aaron Rodgers looked pretty good on that final drive.
Yeah, I mean, and his numbers were pretty good there. Eagles, Rams was a wild finish, clearly. Jets, Bucks was a wild finish, but really an eyesore of a game. Commanders and the Raiders, not much there. Raiders don't look great. I don't know what the hell happened to the Falcons getting shut out by the Panthers, 30-0.
They stink.
The Texans aren't doing much. 0-3, yeah. Not scoring. It's very, you know, the Saints are terrible.
Texans are an interesting example to bring up because 2 years ago, everybody in the world thought that they had the head coach quarterback combination with D'Amico Ryans and CJ Stroud. And now here we are. And how could you not question them? Like, they went backwards last year. And now this year, they're 0-3 to start.
No.
Like, so what, do we definitively know that Stroud and Ryans are the answer? Or is it, hey, you know what, you could blow that thing up. Like, it even goes to show you in the NFL, you might think that you have it, and you still might not after 1 year. You can't overreact.
Well, I mean, that's why it's just changed so much. You know, even back in the day, like when a team would win a Super Bowl, they wouldn't, like, their roster wouldn't get gutted, and they'd be able to keep some of those secondary pieces, that depth pieces, and chemistry pieces. Now, if you win a Super Bowl, everybody overpays for those pieces now. So your depth is diminished. You're not quite the same team. The injuries are a real factor. Guys going down like flies. Quarterbacks dropping everywhere. So you just see this massive drop between the starters and the reserves. Who's the one team, if I say South, there's one team that you have to watch right now. Who is it? I love watching Buffalo. And I love watching the Ravens, but it's a short list.
Yeah, I would think those two. Or the
right?
Baltimore. I mean, Detroit.
Maybe Philly?
Detroit, this is a big matchup tonight. This will be fun. Yeah, I mean, Philly just continues to win. Are they exciting? I mean, no, they struggled in the majority of that game as well yesterday. I think Baltimore for sure, I would put them number one. I think the Lions are still exciting. Not that I would put them ahead of Buffalo, but I still think they're exciting. And probably Buffalo number three because of the quarterback. And you could say if Burrow were healthy, maybe that would change some things. I don't know. Point is, they don't make them like they used to. And in a league that's, trying to have as much parity as possible, you do have it in a lot of ways. It's just not quality football. Bad decision making, bad officiating, the flags all over the place. It's just, to me, not a quality product more often than not, especially through the first three, maybe even 4 weeks of the season.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Try to get your partner's enthusiasm up just a tick.
Mm-hmm. All
right. The Dolphins are 0-3. All right, the Browns are 1-2, Texans, Titans 0-3, mm-hmm. Chiefs have one win, Denver has one win, Raiders don't look that good. If the Jets beat the Dolphins,
yeah,
I mean, is there a speck of hope to just to get it past Halloween?
Do you want me to be honest?
I want you to be honest here. I mean, look at the schedule, factor things in, however you want to attack it. Obviously, that it's Dallas at home, and Dallas stinks, man.
Yeah,
Dallas is
rough. I know, but I think that Dallas and Miami look at their schedule and say,
oh, there's no question.
Well, we got the Jets now.
Yeah, we're going to get right.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. But I'm saying all prefaced by if they can beat a Dolphins team,
right.
And what's Miami playing for at this point? What are they playing for?
Based on the first 3 weeks of the season, do you think the Jets are definitively better than Miami?
I can't say definitively.
Do you think they're better than New England?
I can't say definitively.
Me neither, and that's a problem. Like, before we start to look at the rest of the conference.
No.
How about you start in the division? At least the Patriots have been competitive, and they do have a win.
But I think the Jets have a chance to be better than the Dolphins and the Patriots by the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean...
What does that mean now?
I guess anybody's got a chance. They don't even have the deep... Like, if you start looking around the rest of the conference, the Bengals, obviously, without Burrow is a different story, but still, they're still the Bengals. The Ravens, Steelers, forget about them. Like, Cleveland's not a good team. They got Joe Flacco, a quarterback, yet their defense carried them to a win against the Green Bay Packers. Like, that's something. At least their defense is there. Titans stink. Texans, not so good.
All right, follow me here for this ride here. So the next five games before the Jets bye week. At Miami, Dallas home, Denver, London, Carolina home, at Cincy, no Burrow.
I think that of those games, one, two, I think four of the five, in theory, should be, I mean, I hesitate to use the term, winnable games.
Will they be favored in none? Maybe Dallas. Maybe.
Carolina is at Carolina. Okay. I think Denver.
No, it's home. Jets, I believe the Carolina game is
here. Weird. Okay, yes, you are correct.
They might be favored there. Maybe.
Game. I mean, in Carolina, they look really good pasting the Falcons. Who the hell knows? But and is Burrow going to be back by then? Probably not, right?
Okay, he will not be back by that game.
He's definitely out by then.
Yep.
Even without Burrow, and that game is away in Cincinnati, I would think that the Jets... You're asking me to give you a prediction or the...
I mean, but can you see them winning two or three games there?
I mean, dude, if they don't win two of these games, yeah. They've got to be able to win two. I think they'll... I mean, I don't even know. Miami played well against Buffalo.
Better than the Jets played against Buffalo.
And again, what is the Jets' identity?
I don't know.
There's nothing to hang their hat on and say, okay, well, at least this is going to transfer from week one to week four, from week three to week four. They don't play good defense, they don't consistently run the football, and they don't have a good quarterback.
I'm just hoping. I'm just asking for hope. This is not me saying they're going to win three or five. I'm literally asking you, is there any chance
that they go 2-3?
Yeah.
And even if they did, they'd be 2-6.
That's why yesterday's a crusher and the Steelers game. Like, even if you're just 1-2,
changes.
Going into the Dolphins game, at least just it's a different energy. All right, if we win tonight, we're 2-2. And then you got the Bengals without Burrow and Carolina at home. When you're 0-3, and listen, I mean, I can manufacture enthusiasm with the best of them for this team, but I can't really do it here. 0-3?
Yeah. And I would say that in the second half of the season, like if they don't get two of these, they're not winning six games the whole year.
Oh, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah, but, right, but we were talking about potential.
I thought you were going to say like four.
No. I mean, well, probably more realistic, but I'm still looking at the second half. It's not like they have a tough schedule. They got New England twice. They still have Miami. They have New Orleans on the schedule.
Playing the
Cleveland,
Saints.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That what? Oh.
They might have some winnable games. I just don't think that they can win any of them. The Giants are the complete opposite, where they don't have a lot of winnable games, although the one thing that can change is Jackson Dart. If he comes in and looks good in the RPO, then all of a sudden starts to say, hey, maybe they can beat the Eagles once. Maybe they can beat the Niners. But even then, I don't know. In Chicago, Green Bay, like the Giants get at Detroit, the Giants might win three games again. I mean, God, that's brutal.
Well, there goes the over.
Yeah. If you had the over.
I told everyone to take the over on this year. That didn't work.
What was it, 5.5?
I think it was 4.5. Was it 5.5?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
7.5, yeah.
Mark is in Carmel, Indiana. What could Mark be talking about this morning?
Mark, I want to say I found you guys, and I love the show. You're both excellent. You give a passionate, honest view. Obviously, I've been a Colts season ticket holder since 84. I love even the battles, the Pacers and Knicks that you discuss, but I just, Daniel Jones, to me, is the NFL MVP right now. Oh, we have punted once and only not scored on one drive all year. We missed a field goal, actually.
Mark,
and
I did see that.
And the punt was in garbage.
Mark,
we have over 100 points.
I saw that stat where they, I think the only other team that hadn't punted, only punted once through three, I think it was like 1940. So you're loving Daniel Jones. I mean, listen, we're happy that he could do for you what he really didn't do for us. Enjoy him. He's tough. And he's smart.
I guess my question for you guys is he plays such a cerebral game. I mean, we haven't had a turnover. He's run for three touchdowns, passed for three. And Sal, I also find you to be very objective. Like, what was the issue? Obviously, your guy's not the quarterback whisperer that they said he is, because I don't think our offensive coordinator Cooter and Shane Steichen are any offensive geniuses.
Who's the offensive coordinator there? Cutter?
Steichen and Dirk Cutter. It's Dirk Cutter, right?
Dirk Cutter's a very good offensive coordinator. I didn't know that. And thank you for the call.
Remember, they couldn't get anything going with Richardson, who's an immensely talented athlete.
Here's what I would say. First of all, I don't have the answers. If I did, I'd be employed by the Giants or the Colts or somebody in the NFL. So I admit, I'm just a fan. Like, I'm not smart enough to know why Daniel Jones is having more success with the Colts than he did with the Giants. What I would say is that I don't totally believe it's easy to just say, well, look what he's done elsewhere, where you don't think Daniel Jones learned an immense amount from his failures here with the Giants. And the Colts could be, they benefit from having somebody that they could bring in their organization when they felt they had the proper pieces in place to have him have success, whether it is a sound offensive line, a terrific running back, indoors in the dome, in Indianapolis, where it's not New York, where you draft him six overall, whatever it was, with all that pressure and all the hype and replacing Eli Manning, not to mention the 15 different coaches that he had. So I think the Giants certainly screwed Daniel Jones up, in the words of their owner, no question about it. I also think Daniel Jones on his own wasn't very good when asked to do certain things from different coaches over the years, specifically most recently Brian Daboll. They tried to open the game plan up for him in year two under Daboll.
Yep.
Couldn't do it, whether it was banged up offensive line, whether he himself got hurt, whether it was poor decision making, whatever it may be, Daniel Jones never looked this good with the New York Giants, and I don't think it's just because of the system or coach. I think that that's a big part of it. I also think Daniel Jones has just matured, learned, being in year, what is he in now, five, six in the NFL?
It's probably six, I would think. I mean, I thought he looked even better when he first burst on the scene. Remember his first game? I think that was down at Tampa.
Under Pat Shurmur.
Yeah.
He looked good in Washington in week two of that year, I believe.
Yep. He burst, you know, like, oh, this guy could throw. This guy could obviously run. He's big. He's, you know, 6'5", whatever he is. He's not afraid to put his pads down, get some extra yards. I think the Colts fans right now sitting there saying, now they're going to be eventually disappointed, but I think they probably see Daniel Jones and they probably see like a Peyton Light, you know, like a cerebral.
I mean, come on,
man. No. Just like a cerebral type and a guy who's not going to, you know, slice it up. Like, I mean, Peyton was, I mean, at the end, Peyton was a little rough to watch throw the football there, especially with Denver when he couldn't throw it at all. But they just see a quarterback who's in control, not giving it to the other team. And look at these odds here are, let's see, the MVP odds right now, because that's what the caller said. All right, we got a ways to go. So you got Lamar at plus 275 with Josh Allen. They're leading the way. Herbert's up there. And then you got Daniel Jones at plus 8,000. I mean, that's crazy talk to think he's going to be in the MVP running, but he has played very well, and, you know, good for him. Just another example why the Giants look bad.
It's year seven in the NFL, so he's learned a lot along the ways, unfortunately. Giants made the right move by moving on from him, but it definitely hurts even more when you see the success that he's had elsewhere. WFAN NFL Football, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Whosever idea it was absolutely brilliant.
I know where you're going.
The Taylor cam.
Yeah, LT.
Oh, dude. So perfect. Old, you know, because everybody in the building, everybody on social media thinking the same thing. And then you hear her song, Welcome to New York, the Taylor cam. Oh, is she here? Oh, we're going to see her. And it goes to LT sitting there smoking a cigar. Oh, that gives me good. That is.
Smoking in the stadium.
Oh, it's LT.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
You know, I was surprised by that.
Well done to the Giants and their creative. Whoever came up with that idea, brilliant. That, and only the Giants could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to New York. And instead of Taylor Swift, have Lawrence Taylor.
Like, he looks good. Yeah. LT still looks pretty good.
I mean, obviously always a beast. You could talk about the off-the-field stuff, separate that from what he did on the field. But it just sucks that the Giants have become what they've become here where, I mean, man. Come on, dude. There's nothing. A once proud franchise, and there's you can't even win a game.
No, it's just, it is wash and rinse and repeat and, you know, the cycle of emotions. Hey, we drafted this guy. We're going to be good this year. We're going to be better here. And if that happens, and maybe this could happen. But, you know, once again, early slap by the reality of just not good enough. And it is a deep issue, which is why we're here. Like, you're not bad for this long by accident. It's just been multiple checkpoints where the Giants have been, honestly, Sal, they've just been inept.
Can't get the right decision to get themselves back on the right track. David is in Maplewood, New Jersey. What's up, David?
Yes, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Dave.
I'm a Jet fan since 1968, so if you bear with me, I have a few points, and please keep me on the line.
Go ahead, Dave.
What happened to the ground and pound philosophy that was talked about in the training camp? Hall and
Braylon Allen.
And Allen, I think, had six touches in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. I'll answer my own question because the offensive line is horrible.
Yeah, but if the offensive line's horrible, they have major problems because that was supposed to be the one clear strength of this team.
Well, obviously it's not because then it can't run the ball. And the secondary is awful, and Sauce Gardner, I've seen him run away from players not to get involved.
He does. He does not like to throw.
I'm actually mistaking it.
Yeah, okay. And I think we let him go long enough.
Yeah,
right. Okay,
thank you
for the call, David. Appreciate you.
Another satisfied Jets customer. Gotcha. Yeah. No, it's...
I'm not giving up on the offensive line yet, BC.
No, me neither.
Specifically because I think yesterday was a circumstance. Like, you could say what you will about Justin Fields, and I've said for a long time, like, he can't throw the football. However, and I like Tyrod Taylor. Tough as nails, competitive, veteran quarterback. He's been a winner before. there are significant limitations to what he can do versus what Justin Fields could do, even just the threat alone. So if Bowles knows that and you're going to do everything you can to blitz the run and stop the run, force the Jets to throw a little bit so maybe they get away from their game plan of just trying to run the football with that big offensive line. But they need to, and remember, AVT also banged up, and it doesn't help. They did it with week one against the Steelers. Maybe the Steelers aren't as good as we thought that they were. You saw what happened in week two, even with the win yesterday. Point is, it's still early on. That has to be, and I still think it will be, the strength of this team. Glenn and the offensive coordinator better not get away from that. Run the football. Run the football consistently. That's the only way.
I think they've got two tackles that are going to be here. Whenever the Jets become really good again, I think that they're going to be both in the middle of it. And they both had rough days yesterday. Olu on the left side and obviously Membud on the right side. The Jets had 27 quarterback pressures allowed. That is a frighteningly high number. But I agree. I think it's going to be the strength, and not just because, and like, it's one thing to say, well, this is going to be the best part of the team because there's nothing else that's really that good, versus saying this is going to be the strength of the team because it's actually a potentially really, really good unit. I truly believe that the Jets offensive line could be fantastic. I really do. But the problem is, Sal, you know, and this is, I don't know how you coach around this. Angstrad's going to have to try to do this, and I know he's trying, but they just don't have anybody that could beat you down the field throwing the ball. And everybody's did. The Bills did it. I mean, I saw something. It wasn't, who was it? Somebody was breaking down film where the Buffalo Bills basically had six plays in a row, the same exact defensive sequence, because they knew that the Jets couldn't get anybody open outside of Garrett Wilson. Like, and the word's already around the league here. You got one wide receiver. So even though the O-line was bad yesterday, and I do think it's going to be very, very good moving forward, big picture and small picture, you don't have another receiver. You can't do anything, dude. You just can't. Like, we're past the point of getting on the GMs because now, like, we're watching what they have. But, again, I'm going to just keep saying this. I've watched a lot of Jets football, even bad Jets football. Their receiving core outside of Garrett Wilson is embarrassingly thin, and that's a Muji thing. That's a general manager thing who looked at this depth chart and said, we're good enough to start the season with these receivers. No, you're not. Miscalculation.
BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior football calls when we come back. We'll work the Mets into the conversation on the other side as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.